Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas. Loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf at Adam. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com. This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of spoken word entertainment. Get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Log on to audiblepodcast.com/stuff today for details.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. My name is Chris Paulette. I'm an editor at How Stuff Works. And sitting next to me, as always, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
Hey there.
Did you get that message I sent you?
I would have received it, but my smartphone was confiscated. I'm not allowed to have it anymore.
You know, that was almost true of somebody else that actually everybody knows what we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cute segue stuff doesn't work well for us, does it?
No.
So we're talking about our newly elected president of the United States, Barack Obama, who, as you may know, is something of a BlackBerry fan.
Yeah. Okay. Admittedly, critics of President Obama have talked about his celebrity status and how the media spends a lot of attention to it. And I admit, I'm a little surprised by how many BlackBerry stories there have been about whether or not he'll be able to keep the little machine that he has fallen so obsessively in love with, apparently, that he cannot leave it alone. So when I was talking to Jonathan about what we wanted to do for the podcast, I thought, you know, we should talk about why this is actually a big deal and, you know, why it matters whether or not he's allowed to keep the BlackBerry.
Right. You know, the times, they are a-changing. So we're talking right now about a president who was growing up around the whole technological revolution to the point where, you know, a lot of these things are things that he's very familiar with. That's new to us. You know, the presidents we've had in the past, you know, of course, they were aware of the technology, but they didn't depend upon it while they were, you know, rising up the ranks in the political system. So it wasn't so relevant to them personally. Obama, it's a different story. So we're already starting to see some clashes between Obama's new administration and the way things are traditionally run in D.C. And the BlackBerry is a good example of that. So why would Obama have a problem keeping his BlackBerry as president?
Well, this one actually is a lot less technologically related, as you might think.
Right.
It's actually more of a national security matter. And when you think about it, if you know anything about how email works, you know that in general, most of us send, you know, plain unencrypted emails from place to place, and they go from machine to machine, and anybody can get hold of them, technically. I mean, if you're really trying to.
Sure.
It's not easy to get hold of it, but if you know what you're doing.
It's possible.
You can do it. Mm. So the government agents are concerned that foreign espionage experts might be able to get their hands on unencrypted emails.
Yeah, it could be a total 24 type scenario, and we'd have to call in Jack Bauer.
Right.
And he's definitely not the liberal type.
And then there's that whole, oh man, I just hit reply to all.
Yeah, that would not be good if you're president of the United States and you're replying to, you know, you don't want something like that going out to everyone. But even beyond that, there's an actual act that we have to keep in mind, which is the Presidential Records Act of 1978.
Oh yes.
Now, this act says that that correspondence, official correspondence from the president that has to do with government matters, is public record. You anything you send out as president that involves the policy or government, that's public record, and it has to be the public has to have access to it. The Freedom of Information Act also plays into this. So with that in mind, you can't, having an email, if you send out a sensitive email to someone, where's the line between the personal email and this is in your capacity as president of the United States? Does this mean that someone has to read over every single email message you send and receive to determine whether or not this is a matter of public record? The answer to that, by the way, is yes. Someone does have to look that over.
Yep.
And it's interesting because that was one of the reasons why, actually that was the main reason why our previous president, why he gave up email. In fact, it was actually, it made the news that he gave up email. He sent an email message out to his friends and said that essentially, I'm paraphrasing here,
right,
but that he enjoyed having these, conversations in cyberspace with everyone, but out of concern for this act, the Presidential Records Act, he had to quit using email because he didn't want anything to come to light that might be embarrassing for someone, because he felt that the media were kind of scrutinizing him to a level where that would just be a matter of time. It would just take, sooner or later, there's going to be some email message that would be shown to everyone in the world, and it could potentially be embarrassing. Whether it was intentional or not. So he famously gave up email. Now, Obama seems to be of a different mind. He really has embraced cyberspace in a way that no other president has.
That's true. There was a lot of online marketing as far as his campaign strategy was concerned. He used Twitter, or his campaign, I should say. Obviously, he was a little busy. He needed a little help with all these different media, but he had Twitter and email and all kinds of SMS.
iPhone apps.
Exactly. So that was sort of unprecedented, too, using new media to reach out to so many people during a campaign. And I think we'll probably see that from virtually every campaign at virtually every level going forward, at least in the next few years.
And
maybe not immediately, but.
And of course, he depends on his BlackBerry for more than just email. He uses it to stay connected to the outside world through things like reading up news articles and getting news in an unfiltered way. I've heard it said that, he uses it so that he prevents himself from being caught in a bubble where, information that gets to him just, it's just the information people want to get to him. This way he has a more direct connection to the outside world to maintain that kind of, perspective. And that was interesting to me. So here we are. What's the status now? Well, it's kind of in flux. According to Robert Gibbs, who's the press secretary, he says that Obama will get to keep his BlackBerry.
Well, maybe not his BlackBerry.
Well, a BlackBerry.
Actually, from what I have read, it seems like there may be a possibility that he'll get two.
This is true.
There is his personal BlackBerry, which he uses basically to keep in touch with his friends
and maybe
and senior staffers.
Yeah.
You know, that would probably be his BlackBerry.
Right.
And then there's another machine that he might use to communicate more sensitive matters. But this can't be a standard BlackBerry.
Right.
And there's a couple reasons for that. The company that makes the BlackBerry, Research in Motion, is located in Canada, which goes back to the national security thing. A lot of their servers, a lot of the messages go through their servers. Actually, I think all their messages go through the servers. And that means if it's leaving the United States borders – that's a matter of some concern.
Right. But you never know when those Canadians could invade.
But they do offer a 256-bit encryption model
right.
in some of their machines. And, I think it's possible that they may be creating a custom, encryption scheme just for the president. However, there is another option too that he might get.
Yes. Actually, there's a couple, but the one that most people I think more people I've heard of than the other is the Sectera Edge from General Dynamics,
and they make a lot of stuff on government contracts, some really high tech, you know, technology stuff from a lot of different kinds of environments, not just you know handheld technology type
right.
stuff.
Right, but the Sectera Edge is one of those that has been rated as being acceptable for top secret voice communications, and secret email and web browsing. So that would be very important from a national security standpoint. If you've never seen a picture of this thing, it's not the sleekest handheld device you've ever seen. It's actually kind of chunky looking. The aesthetics were not as important as the how it worked, I guess.
Well, you know, it doesn't have to be as long as it's secure.
Well,
you know, that's
sure,
the big thing
but
here.
I mean, come on. Have you seen Obama? The man has style. I'm just saying.
All right.
I'm just saying. Now, granted, okay, that limo, little chunky.
Well, true, but it's also an armored truck underneath there.
You have a fair point.
Whatever machine ends up being the official handheld communication device that the president uses, it's going to have to – anybody who receives an email from it is going to have some kind of compatible encryption technology. And by that, I mean if you've read our article, How Encryption Works, there will be a public key and a private key involved. So whoever President Obama sends a message to, he'll have to have the appropriate encryption key to send to them. Otherwise, it's going to show up as gibberish.
Right.
On whatever device they use to read it. So it's going to be very thoroughly encrypted, and there will have to be the appropriate software installed on the receiving end in order to receive and decrypt it properly.
Yeah, this is another good point. one of the concerns people might have about any kind of portable device that connects to the internet is that theoretically you could set it down and someone else could pick it up and then they have access to everything you've sent and everything that was sent to you. Now, with the president, that's not as big a concern because he happens to have all these big burly Secret Service guys around him all the time. And they don't tend to let that happen.
And he probably wouldn't, you know, say, leave it on the bus or you know.
It would not be likely.
No.
Especially with the way he's treated his BlackBerry so far. I mean, if you've seen pictures, that thing seems to be in his hands pretty often. But beyond that, so yeah, you wouldn't have to worry about him setting it down. But what about the people he sends messages to?
That's true.
So if he emails, you know, Joe Bob, and Joe Bob happens to put his phone down for 5 minutes, then turn around and it's gone – well, now you've got a whole new issue on your hands. You can't put Secret Service agents around every single person that Obama may or may not send email messages to. That was one of the big, big barriers to the whole BlackBerry issue in the first place.
That's true. But, you know, that could go for virtually anyone else. I mean, any other White House staffer or CIA or FBI agent, you know,
sure.
there, or even someone who carries around a briefcase. I mean, we've had issues where government information has been taken, the Los Alamos National Laboratory a few years ago when they had that laptop computer go missing.
Right.
You know, anything like that, any form of information that can be actually recorded in some way, you know,
yeah, that's
and,
actually
and taken out of the building.
That's a good segue into what another thing I just wanted to touch on briefly, which was the state of technology in the White House when the Obama administration came
in. That's right.
Because that also made the news. Again, Obama's administration, the campaigners and everyone involved were used to this sort of high tech kind of approach to making contact with the public and keeping in touch with each other. And so they come to the White House and then they find out there are hardly any laptops in the White House. And again, part of that is because it's easy to, or fairly easy to abscond with a laptop. At least it's easier than a desktop.
True.
So hardly any laptops, no Macs. Boy, that got a big response.
Yeah, apparently the Obama campaign used Macintosh computers.
Well, no one's perfect.
And then they ended up you're trying to perpetuate that, aren't you?
Kinda.
They ended up on Windows 2000 machines.
Yeah, they said that the Windows machines, everything was running software that was at least 6 years out of date.
Wow.
One aide said that it was like going from an Xbox to an Atari 2600.
Well, you know, in their defense, I understand a little bit about where that's coming from because I worked for a very large company before I came to How Stuff Works, and we were using, even years after XP came out, we were still using Windows 2000. And the reason they were doing that was because everybody in this very large company was using Windows 2000. It was running smoothly. They had the package exactly the way they wanted it, and there weren't any big hang-ups with it. And I would imagine, especially in an environment where security is an issue and you have everything pretty much stabilized the way you like it, you know, I'm kind of loath to change the technology.
No, it totally makes sense because, again, think about it this way. Hard copy information can be stolen, can be copied, all that kind of stuff. But you have to get into the physical location where that stuff is in order to do that, right?
True.
So with electric communication, you don't have to do that.
No.
You know, you can be, you could be on the other side of the world and find a way into an electronic system and intercept messages and things of that nature. So, you know, on the one hand, you're like, how can the United States of America, arguably the one of the most advanced countries on the face of the planet, how can it run its government using this old out-of-date software? But on the other hand, you think, well, how safe would it be if they were using, you know, brand new technology? Would it really be prudent to use that, considering that there are people out there who might be a little interested to know what's going on in the White House at any given time?
True.
So,
but I do understand that they had, you know, all the W's on the keyboards, but they did have 8 years to replace them after Clinton White House staff removed all the W's when W got into the office.
Yeah. Wah, wah. Wacky politicians.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. I'm kind of curious to see what the White House looks like from a technological point of view at the end of Obama's administration. I mean, will we see major updates to the software and the hardware, or will they choose to keep these what some people would call antiquated systems? Because there's a measure of security involved just by using those. I don't know the answer to that. I would expect there'd be some kind of, you know, area in between.
I would imagine that, given what we've read about the administration and the needs of the White House going forward, I would imagine that if you are a security, an electronic security expert at the NSA, your job is pretty safe.
Probably, yeah. I also don't think we'll be seeing Microsoft Surfaces on all the tables or anything like that anytime soon. So
at least not heavily, unless they're heavily encrypted.
Right, yeah. So that, you know, essentially you're just looking at blocks and you're like, I don't know what any of this is. Yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. So, but it's a brand new world. I mean, we've got a president who, for the moment at least, appears to have the go-ahead to use an electronic device to send email. That's new. We'll have to see how that plays out. You know, it might help Obama in the long run because he'll be seen as someone who is very responsive and can stay in touch with the outside world and is not just kind of sequestered away. Or it could come back to haunt all of us if the worst should happen. So
that's true.
Time will have to tell. But you know what? I've got something else we can talk about.
Okay.
I've got some listener mail.
Oh, really?
Before we go into it.
Okay.
I think we should thank our sponsor.
our sponsor. That would be Audible.
Yes, it would be. So www.audiblepodcast.com/techstuff. If you sign up there, you get a free download. They have thousands and thousands of audiobooks in their library. And there's some great stuff in there. So we thought we would recommend a couple of books. Chris, why don't you recommend one?
That's true. You know, no telling whether or not President Obama will be listening to audiobooks on his NSA security-enabled portable. I'm sure it's got a nifty acronym.
Right.
But if you were going to use your free download and you were interested in finding out what makes President Obama tick, you might check out Dreams from My Father, a story of race and inheritance. You know, it tells a lot about him growing up, and it's narrated by the President of the United States.
Wow.
So that would be a good choice if you're interested in learning more about the person using the BlackBerry.
Excellent. And I have a recommendation for what could go seriously, seriously wrong with technology.
Okay.
Okay, so it's a horror novel. It's not real, but it's Cell by Stephen King, narrated by Campbell Scott. So Cell is a story about a computer virus that people encounter on their cell phones that then causes them to go bonkers and start chopping each other up into tiny bits. So, hey, you know, there's a worst-case scenario for you.
That would be interesting if that happened to the government.
Yeah. Well, you could get either of these or one of 50,000 more books for free by signing up at www.audiblepodcast.com/techstuff. And now, listener mail. So this listener mail comes to us from Benjamin Ivey. In the interest of full disclosure, he and I have a Facebook past. Benjamin writes to us and says, "Last Christmas, I bought my brother several small gifts, a t-shirt, used sci-fi books, and his favorite snacks. Rather than simply placing these items under the tree, I took his GPS device and hid them all around our town. I gave him the coordinates to find the first gift. Each gift was placed in a bag along with the coordinates to find the next gift. It was super fun and made for a very memorable Christmas. To do this, I would recommend hiding them in not too public places, yet still accessible from a car. Also, to keep track of the coordinates, you have to hide the last gift first and work backwards as you cache them." That's a great idea. It's very fun, very entertaining. A couple of just tiny reminders. If you're hiding them in a city, make sure you're not going to put it someplace where people are going to freak out and think that you're putting a bomb there. You may need to get permission from someone to hide something someplace. And as he points out, don't put it in too public a place or anyone could come by and pick it up.
I don't know what happened to that 24 megapixel digital camera stuck in the trash can over there.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I could have sworn they picked up trash on Thursdays, not Wednesdays. Yeah, but thank you very much, Benjamin, for the email and for the suggestion. That's a great idea. I love the whole scavenger hunt thing.
Very cool.
Yeah. So if you guys want to write into us, you should definitely give it a go. We love getting that email. It's podcast@howstuffworks.com. And if you want to learn more about anything we've talked about, you can check out howstuffworks.com, and we will talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.